We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Into the 1 o'clock hour, it's Cody and Gold minus Cody today. He's back with us on Thursday. Alex Gold, Nick Schwert with you. We'll get to an update on Tyreek Hill versus Usain Bolt. He was on with TMZ the other day, had some comments, including what he's willing to put up for grabs in a race with Usain Bolt. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But each and every Tuesday, we always enjoy checking in with Nate Taylor, who joins us here on Cody and Gold. Of course, the Nate Taylor Show on Monday nights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Nate, hope Thanksgiving was good, man. And I have to ask you, because I asked Nick this question. He was visiting his girlfriend's parents for the first time out in Phoenix over the holiday weekend, and he said it went great. Do you have an in-law story or anything on the first time you met, I guess now, your wife's parents?
Yes, of course I do, Alex. This is man, this was, I believe, senior year of college, and me and Holly both went to the University of Central Missouri down in Warrensburg. It was Easter weekend, and I had talked to Holly's mother a few times on the phone. I had yet to meet her dad, which is always very contentious, very nervous when you're like, okay, I'm gonna meet her father. It went great. I think her grandmother broke the ice probably the best over dinner for Easter. But yeah, it's nothing like being in a car with who at the time was my college sweetheart, now my wife, now the mother of my son, and being like, wow, I am driving to where in Iowa? To meet who in your family? And dog, this like you told me it was 2.5 hours, but I've been sweating for what feels like 14 hours. Like so you get out of the car and you're just dripping with sweat and you're like, I hope she's said great things about me, but like, so for Nick, I'm sure it was a swell time. I'm sure it was much better because, you know, he was older than I was at the time. But of course, we've done many Thanksgiving since, and obviously I love my in-laws. We really have never had any issues. It was just, man, that first time, there's really nothing to prepare you. I'm like, I was trying to get a scouting report on each individual in the family and realizing that, like, that immediately goes out the window when you walk through the door.
That's what it sounds like from a lot of people I've talked to about that. And it did. It went very well, it sounds like, for Nick, as well as it went for you there as well, as we're talking to Nate Taylor. The Chiefs got to sit at home for Thanksgiving. I know for members of the media and the Chiefs, everybody loved the bye week. On Thanksgiving, worked out perfectly. And while the Chiefs were sitting at home, I mean, things continue to get better in the AFC. I looked at the AFC West, and knowing that the Chiefs have three straight divisional opponents, starting with the Broncos on Sunday, I think they have this division wrapped up in 3 weeks.
It's definitely possible, now that you mention it. I mean, I'll say this, and this is a quick sidebar. My weekend was wonderful. I watched football on the couch like most Americans. It was great. Until the Eagles receivers could not make a catch.
That's right.
Anywhere near the goal line. I mean, I'm texting back and forth with Sean Barber. Obviously, everybody knows about the Survivor League.
Yeah, see, I thought you got eliminated. You just only got your first strike. You're still in good spot, right?
I got my first strike, but I can't stress to you enough. But the Eagles had four turnovers, I believe, and could have still won if just catch the football. But outside of that, you are completely right. That was the worst game I've seen this season from Justin Herbert against the Denver Broncos. Did the Denver Broncos do anything special? No. They just, you know, I guess it's great to know that, like, they have some pretty nice pieces on defense, some young pieces that are obviously going to get better throughout their careers. But I'm not super impressed with Denver. Obviously, we'll figure out where Teddy Bridgewater is in terms of his health, because obviously he got injured, left the game, came back, and really didn't make any mistakes. But look, the Chargers are in a weird spot. The Raiders, for their credit in getting a win over Dallas, is nice. But, I mean, look, we all know what Derek Carr's record is in Arrowhead Stadium. It's not very good. So you could be right in terms of, hey, if the Chiefs are healthy, if they remain healthy, if they do not make weird mistakes, if Patrick Mahomes, I don't know, plays well for two straight weeks in especially a primetime game against a divisional opponent, he might vault himself back into the MVP discussion.
I think he's right there, man. I mean, he's got the fourth best odds or so, or third best odds right now. I think he's right back in it.
It's a strange season, and Denver does have a pretty good defense. But if Patrick goes out and did what he did against the Raiders, against the Broncos at home, you're right. We may, you know, maybe that December 16th game doesn't even make that much of an importance, just because I don't know where the Chargers necessarily go from here, because it's not like their schedule gets any easier. I believe they play the Bengals. So if the Chiefs take care of their business, not only will they ensure themselves of a home playoff game because they will have won the AFC West, but there's a legitimate shot of the Baltimore Ravens injuries catching up to them, of the Buffalo Bills and New England Patriots, you know, going 1-1 in their series and giving themselves a loss. I'm not really sure what to make of Tennessee, even though they have a relatively easy schedule. They did lose to the Houston Texans. So there's a chance, there's a real chance for the Chiefs to kind of sneak into that one spot.
We're talking to Nate Taylor here on 610 Sports Radio. And looking at the Chiefs as they get set to take on the Broncos, we know it's 11 straight wins for Kansas City against the Broncos. And Nick and I were talking earlier about, you know, this year's Broncos team compared to some of the other matchups. And other than when 2015, when they won, it was Peyton Manning. It does still feel like this is the best roster the Broncos have had since the Chiefs have faced them during that 11-win stretch. I know that the quarterback's a question, no doubt. But if you look at this Broncos roster, it does seem like it's the best one that they've brought into Arrowhead in a while.
I kind of want to agree with you, but I kind of don't. Von Miller is still really good at football. And when he was on the field against Mr. Schwartz, it was honestly some of the best man-to-man football I would see. And Mr. Schwartz obviously held up very, very well in those matchups. You know, when Philip Lindsay was going there, you know, early in his career, that's much better than what the Broncos have now at running back, in my opinion. They have weapons on offense, but I mean, it's a really interesting question. I mean, it'll be something I'll think about all week. But in terms of, like, if the Chiefs just don't turn the ball over, if the Chiefs win more on first down, particularly if the Broncos decide to be a run-first team on first down because of, again, whatever Teddy Bridgewater is going through, and obviously as soon as Drew Lock got in the game, I was like, you know what? Chargers might be in this game because, you know, we're just one pick away. And wouldn't you know it? Now, it was an amazing play by Derwin James. It was like, wouldn't you know it? Drew Lock threw a pick, and now this game is tightened all of a sudden. So I think for the Chiefs, if they can get out to an early lead and make the Broncos one-dimensional, then this team might be the same team it was a year ago, right? I mean, the Chiefs went into Denver and just obliterated them. And then in the rematch, the Chiefs, in my opinion, when I look back at that game, they didn't really reveal much on tape. They were sort of already starting to build things out for the playoffs. And then Mahomes could have thrown two touchdowns. Everybody remembers, like he actually threw two touchdowns deep to Tyreek Hill, and neither one of them counted. but they dominated that game throughout much of the time, even though the score would suggest that it was relatively close. It really wasn't. And guess what? Drew Lock threw a game-sealing interception as well. So I feel like, if you ask me, Alec, I feel like we're probably going to see a repeat of what the matchup was 2 years ago, or what the matchup was two times last year versus wow, the Broncos are in a tight game in the fourth quarter, and maybe Teddy Bridgewater can, like, lead them to a game-tying field goal or a game-winning touchdown. Like, I'd be a little surprised if that was the scenario that played out midway through the fourth quarter.
How badly does this team need Lucas Niang back on Sunday against the Broncos? We know it's been Andrew Wiley for three straight weeks, and even after the bye week yesterday, it sounded like Niang was still not a sure thing for Sunday.
Yeah, and this is where, if you're a Chiefs fan and a listener right now, I understand. You're probably asking, why in the world didn't they put Lucas Niang on the short-term injured reserve list? If he doesn't play in this game against the Broncos, that's a legitimate question, because it will have been four going on now 5 weeks of him being out with a rib injury. At no point have the Chiefs told us that it's a fractured rib situation, but maybe there's something going on that no one has told me yet, obviously, as I've sort of asked about that. But the Chiefs are going to hope that Niang can at least do something this week, whether he's a limited participant or he just has a few reps on Friday that will maybe get him ready for the following week, if that's the case. But, you know, you hope the bye week helps Andrew Wiley, because he faces as tough of a matchup as you can have against the Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons, who's just an absolute freak. But, yeah, this team needs Lucas Niang. They also need him, too, for running. I think Chiefs fans can think about Lucas Niang in terms of, like, pass blocking and how is he holding up and he's giving Patrick Mahomes that extra half second to find somebody open downfield. But I do know that when the Chiefs have ran the ball, they're most efficient, they're most effective. It's been with Lucas Niang on that right side with Trey Smith and obviously Creed Humphrey in the middle. So if you want to be more balanced, which can lead to more dynamic or more explosive pass plays, you need to be more of a threat on running the game. And Andrew Wiley's fine. He's a competent replacement, fill-in, spot starter. But I think the Chiefs can actually run the ball a little bit better if Lucas Niang is healthy and gives them more push on the edge.
Is Kyle Long going to get shut down? The designated to return was yesterday, right?
It's actually today.
Today, okay.
And so, because if my memory is correct, they designated both he and Clyde Edwards for return to practice retroactively today, so that they, or on a Tuesday, so that they could practice on a Wednesday with their teammates. Now, the way the NFL has structured this is usually if you make that designation, you usually get nine practices or three practices for 3 weeks to decide if that player is ready to return to the active roster. And if they're not, then they are, as you mentioned, shut down for the season. I get the sense that the Chiefs will probably try their best to give Kyle Long as much time on the active roster. Just because he might be elevated to the active roster does not mean he'll be in uniform Sunday, but I get the sense that they're going to try to give him a chance. Obviously, he had no preseason games, ladies and gentlemen. He had no training camp. The man got hurt in mandatory minicamp, if my memory is correct, in June, which is just super unfortunate because he's obviously coming out of retirement and he's been a very, very good lineman at both tackle and guard throughout his career. So, Andy Reid is all about easing guys in. If that is the case, the Chiefs want – I would tell fans this. You don't designate somebody to return and then not have them return unless there's a legitimate setback. And I haven't heard anything in terms of a setback with Kyle Long, so I believe he'll probably be elevated to the active roster. But that doesn't necessarily mean he'll play or be in uniform for probably a few more weeks if Andy Reid does it the way he normally does with a guy – with this level of injury concern, this level of history, and again, just not having really any time with pads to get in football shape, let alone be ready to compete at the highest level of the sport.
No, it makes sense, because I was wondering what they would do with the active roster, though. Just, you know, probably diving too deep into this now, but we know they had to add Shane Bouchel to the active roster because they were worried about the Cardinals. Well, now the Cardinals have their quarterback situation appears to be healthy.
Correct.
So I would
wonder,
would they feel comfortable of moving him back down to the practice squad to make room for Kyle Long, or if there's another move that we just don't know that's going to come?
Yeah. And I would remind fans too, like, Shane Bouchel has already got you one victory this year. He's done his job. He got Patrick Mahomes right before the Las Vegas Raiders game. You can put him back on the practice squad. You can also protect him again with your protection designations. I believe you get three or four based on what the rules were last year and how they are continued into this year because, you know, yes, ladies and gentlemen, COVID is still a very real thing. There's a new variant that I'm reading about every day, and it's horrifying. So And as you've noticed throughout the league, and give the Chiefs credit, players tested on Monday, so yesterday. There's been nothing that has come out from the Chiefs facility that says anybody has tested positive. So that's a good thing. Guys have gone to their families. They've traveled for vacation. They all seem to be relatively healthy. Marcus Kemp is back after he had COVID. But you're seeing throughout the league, there's more and more guys as we get into the colder, darker months, like, hey, you know, this thing is still legitimate. So you can, because of COVID, more teams can protect practice squad players than in years past. You can put Shane Bouchel back on the practice squad. You can protect him. You can elevate Lucas Niang if he's ready to come back. Well, actually, he's still on the active roster, But then, obviously, you can bring in Kyle Long and sort of figure out how you want to handle it there. Another player that I need to ask Andy Reid about, and I haven't circled back with people in the organization, is Joshua Kando, right? The rookie defensive end who's been out with a ankle injury since, I believe, week three. He may also be another person that they will designate for return at some point soon. I'm just not sure when yet.
We're talking to Nate Taylor. He joins us each and every Tuesday here on Cody and Gold. Nick and I were having a discussion earlier today on the show. Okay, it's not that we're already in the second half of the season, but it still feels like post bye week. Is there a player or two that could have a breakout the rest of the season? I said it's Clyde because he's missed some time, and let's not forget how well he was playing before he got hurt. Nick said Willie Gay Jr. Do you have a post bye breakout guy, not just for a game, but for the rest of the way?
Whoo, that is an interesting question. What if I go with the most consistent man on the team, not named Patrick Mahomes? And that guy is Travis Kelce. I just look, Kelce still leads the league in yards for a tight end. It's nuts. And you could ask people and they'll say, you know, Kelce's kind of had a little dip, but that's because he got banged up. And I think the bye week probably did him some good because he was dealing with a neck injury that I believe occurred late in the Buffalo Bills loss. So I want to say Travis Kelce, someone who was obviously dependable, the best player at his position, but can you imagine if Travis Kelce with just less nicks and bumps performs just a little bit better, which elevates his offense even more? And if the Chiefs offense just cuts down the turnovers, I don't know how many teams beat them straight up. So I'm going to say Travis Kelce just because there's a track record there. Because the team is finding new ways to scheme him open. Obviously, he had the rushing touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys. But your guys' picks are excellent. I think Clyde, there's a real chance for him to sort of hit his stride. And it will have taken longer than most Chiefs fans have wanted in the second half of his second season. But if he's healthy and he gets back to being into the flow of the offense, if he has more chemistry now with his new offensive line, which was not the case in September, he's definitely a candidate to sort of have a really nice second half. And look, Willie Gay is the most athletic defender the Chiefs have, period. And if he could just stay on the field and start reading quarterbacks' eyes a little bit better, he's getting really, really good at timing where a tight end will be in the flat, where the running backs will be. He's getting even better as a tackler, which is even great compared to him being playing alongside Nick Bolton, who's been a tackling machine this season. So there's a true case. I know some fans will probably say, hey, what about L'Jarius Sneed? What about Rashad Fenton, who's having the hottest stretch of his career? All this is to say is, ladies and gentlemen, your team is healthy, and they're playing perhaps their best football at like the exact moment when you want it to start, which is when you get past those Thanksgiving Day games and everybody knows how important each game is moving forward, and so you want to perform at your best when needed most, and we've entered that part of the season.
Nate, where can people check out your work as they get set for Chiefs and Broncos on Sunday?
Yes, sir. Thanks again for having me, fellas. It's theathletic.com. I wish I could tell you that our end of year promotion is still going on, but it's not. But I hope a lot of people took advantage of the $1 per month for all the news coverage. I honestly would recommend, I mean, look, it's been a nuts week in college football, but I do think our publication has done a great job covering it all. Obviously, I know there's a lot of people in this region that love Oklahoma and obviously what happened with Mr. Riley going to USC, but we've done a really great job covering college football. And hey, today we had our first mock draft, ladies and gentlemen. And
wow, we're already there.
I've written a little breakdown on a wide receiver the Chiefs could take.
Okay.
Now, hey, you don't want to be at 26, okay? Like right now, based on the standings, the Chiefs would have the 26th pick. You don't want that. You want them to have the 32nd pick because that means they've won their second Super Bowl in 3 years. But hey, if they stay in this late 20s, you know, into the 30s, you hope, this wide receiver from USC who could, you know, who could be of help. And I was crushing through the tape yesterday. So people can read that right now on theathletic.com and get to learn a little bit more about Drake London, who appears to be some of the Chiefs could utilize if he's available to them late in the first round.
Nate Taylor, already a little bit of draft mode. It's incredible already. Okay, Nate, appreciate it as always, man. We'll check in next Tuesday with you.
All right, sounds good, fellas. Thank you.
There you go. Always good to check in with Nate Taylor. Yes, I like the wide receiver. You know, wide receiver absolutely should be that.
It's direction. Funny that he brought up Drake London, the wide receiver from USC.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember if I know we've talked about it off the air. I don't know if we've ever talked about it on air.
Yeah.
But I actually am a Heisman voter.
Oh, really?
You're familiar with the Heisman vote.
Yeah,
Award.
You have a vote?
Yeah, actually I do. And I just got sent my ballot email this week. So I don't cast my ballot until after the championship game. Some people cast their ballot before championship weekend. I think those people should have their votes stripped of them. Personally, me, as somebody who's been a Heisman voter, is going to continue to be a Heisman voter, I'm going to wait until probably Sunday morning to cast my ballot.
Aiden Hutchinson should get some love now.
You know what? I know we've joked about it, Alex, but it really is a serious thing to me. I know I'm just a normal dude like the rest of you, and I put my pants on one leg at a time. And the only real difference is that once I put my pants on, I sit down and I cast my Heisman vote.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not supposed to talk about who you're going to vote for until after you vote for him and after the vote has become public. So it really would be inappropriate for me to talk about who I'm going to vote for. But I haven't decided yet because I don't cast my ballot until after the games have been played on Saturday.
That's fair. Now, the fact that you're a producer for this show, though, I expect a heads up on the ballot. That's all. Like, I expect a heads up. I don't think we should have to wait for your Heisman ballot.
No, because the problem is...
What's the point, man? We got to know ahead of time.
The problem, Alex, is because this year, it's wide open. Mm-hmm. Last year, with Devontae Smith, it was a slam dunk. Everybody knew it. The year before, Joe Burrow. The year before that, Kyler Murray. I'm pretty sure all three of those guys got above 90% of first place votes. There is not going to be anybody getting 90% of votes. Nobody. I don't care what happens this weekend. It is a wide open race. I think there are two sort of clear favorites that could change depending on what happens this weekend. But again, I just want, in conclusion, I do have a Heisman vote, but I can't tell you who I'm going to vote for. Because I'm a part of because the Heisman Trust wouldn't like that, man.
Yeah, I just want to say if Cody and I had a vote, we'd make it a show vote, but you know.
But then you wouldn't have a vote any longer. Isn't that important for us to keep having a vote?
We do show bets, you know. We do a lot of stuff as a show, but I guess the Heisman vote, it's too prestigious to let Cody and say.
You wouldn't understand because you've never voted on an individual award like this, that you really don't mess around with this kind of stuff, man. You wouldn't get it.
Let's tell you, if Jay Binkley had the Heisman vote, he'd let us have
maybe
some input.
Someday, you know what? Maybe someday they'll let a guy like Jay Binkley have a Heisman vote. But for now, it's just reserved for guys like me. Yeah, guys like me, of which there are so few.
So we mentioned Tyreek Hill had a little update on Usain Bolt. This goes back to training camp, even back before that. The back and forth between Bolt and Tyreek Hill and the challenge on who could beat who. And there was stipulated at one point it was going to be like a 40-meter dash, at one point 100, who would be favored there. There's a little update from Tyreek Hill to TMZ on racing Bolt and also what Tyreek Hill's willing to put up for grabs.
Hey, Usain Bolt, let me tell you something, man. Look, you see that right here? Look, you see this Super Bowl ring right here, man? Oh, it feels so good on my hand. And get what? When I beat you, I'm going to have a gold medal around my neck, too, just to go with this jury. And while you at it, oh my God, I can't believe he really just said that.
What if you go out and get a second Super Bowl ring this year? Is that something you'd even consider? Because you only have one. He has a lot of gold medals.
Man, I'm not hearing none of that. My Super Bowl ring is times all those gold medals. My one Super Bowl ring is like 30 gold medals, I feel like, you know, because those are so hard to get. You know, we're talking about the top of the top. You know, trying to get those. I'm going to get Tom Brady. We're going to get Tom Brady every year. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady. You know, who else we got? Josh Allen. You got Lamar Jackson. top guys. I'm not saying track is like the easiest. But man, come on, man.
I feel like
but he kind of is. I'm not saying it's the easiest, but I'm also saying one Super Bowl ring is worth 30 gold medals.
I gotta stop it there because it's hilarious. Where, like, you're right. It is very difficult to win a Super Bowl ring, but the idea that he's trying to downplay how tough it is to win a gold medal against every country on earth has a chance to have someone represented if they qualify for it. And literally the fastest man in the world. And he's like, well, he didn't have...
These are tough to get, though. The Super Bowl rings are hard.
What's funny, it's because we know the names of the quarterbacks you got to face. And Tom Brady... Interesting, he brought up Josh Allen. Tells you the respect they have for Josh Allen.
So if Tom Brady were running like 100-yard dashes...
Who's the Tom Brady of the sprinting world? Is it Bolt?
I think it is.
Yeah, so like, what is he trying... So like, what is he saying?
I just love the line of, you know, these are hard to get. We're talking about the best of the best, you know. So very dissimilar to running in the Olympics.
He went on from there.
Try me, because like first of all, my mom always told me you never let nobody talk trash to you if they wear a tight shirt like that. Like his Puma shirt was choking him. Like, I'm not gonna allow that to happen though. I'm down with whatever. I'm down with whatever at this point. You know, like we can go race in Walmart parking lot. You know, and do it for Walmart charity. Like we can go do whatever. You know, like that what Coach Reed tell us on Sunday, like we can line up and play the Raiders in the Walmart parking lot. We can do whatever, you know, so you saying both. Like I say, like you got my number, you got my Instagram, you got all that information. Like, man, you can just figure this out. Man, you can just meet at a local high school anywhere. I can come to Jamaica. Like we yeah.
So that was Tyreek Hill on TMZ still talking about racing Bolt. It needs to happen this offseason. Like, hopefully, like there's no reason for. We've heard a lot of talk from both sides. It needs to happen, and I agree, for charity this offseason.
What distance are they going to run?
See, that's the dispute. That's the
dispute. Tyreek's going to want to run 40.
Yeah, and
Usain's going to want to run 100 meters, which I have no idea what the conversion is there.
Yeah, but if you're Tyreek Hill, you obviously need the shorter distance. If it's the longer it is, the worst off it is for.
Are we sure Usain Bolt isn't washed?
I feel confident that Bolt all of a sudden isn't slow.
Well, compared to who?
Yeah, but
compared to you or I? No, compared to Tyreek Hill?
No, I don't. I'd still, if it's anything over 40, I'm taking Bolt. If it's anything over 40.
How many yards is 100 meters? Oh, it's more. Okay. It's 109 yards. Yeah, there's no way he can do 100 yards.
No, I don't think so.
Who knew that meters and yards were pretty much the same?
Glad we got that conversion in on the show. Very, yep. Very important. Up next, the most absurd contract perhaps ever and why we shouldn't be surprised in college football.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, of course, the college football coaching carousel gets crazy and crazier by the hour, it seems. The latest contract numbers out for Brian Kelly, reportedly 10 years, $95 million for him to become the next head coach at LSU. He held a meeting with his former team up in Notre Dame in South Bend this morning at 7 a.m., 11-minute meeting. Then he proceeded to leave. Some people are upset that it was only an 11-minute meeting. I just don't know what else you expect. It's an awkward situation for everybody. None of this stuff is ever handled properly. If he would have had a meeting over Zoom instead, people would have complained he didn't do it in person. He does it in person, it's not long enough. I don't think any of the players would have wanted to sit there and talk to a guy that just bailed on them right before a chance to maybe play for a national title? You think they want to talk to him for an hour, for 2 hours?
Yeah, I think you should have had a PowerPoint presentation prepared.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exhibit A. Five top reasons why I decided to leave you guys.
We'll talk more about Lincoln Riley going to USC and just where college football is right now, where you have these big-time programs losing coaches to other massive programs in college football, more time and money than we've seen before. We'll get to that in just a little bit, including Urban Meyer reportedly not interested in any college jobs, which means that we can stop thinking, you know, clearly if he says it's a no-go, then he never would go back on his word.
Always been a man of his word. Up next on What's Trending, you thought Brian Kelly got a good deal. How about Javier Baez? He signed a deal with the Tigers for 6 years, $140 million. Baseball teams have about 24 more hours to get deals done with any of these free agents before it's going to be a dead period. Carlos Correa? You just throw him a blank check real quick?
I mean, to me, that's got to be the Yankees' target right now. It has to be. You're right about the money, though.
Do the Royals kick the tires on Carlos Correa?
No, they do not.
You got to do a little tire kick.
Testing the waters or whatever.
Just see if it's like his dream.
To be a Royal.
Because what you don't want is for him to do like an interview 2 years from now and say, you know, I was always my dream to play for the Royals. They never even called.
Right.
It's like that girl from high school. You should have asked me out. I had a crush on you the whole time.
Now you tell me.
Exactly.
Carlos Correa is by far the best player available on the market, and the Yankees seem like a likely destination. But with the CBA expiring tomorrow at midnight, you're right. Teams, players feel a little desperate to make some moves. It's also why I said yesterday I don't blame the Royals for not being aggressive right now. I think there's a chance where they can take advantage if the CBA gets figured out before the start of spring training, before the start of the regular season, to maybe get some guys that are still out there, and there'll still be plenty. More importantly, next up on What's Trending, I say more importantly because I think we can all agree that seeing Tiger Woods make the comeback and win the Masters was awesome, unbelievable moment that we'll never forget in sports. And also, so lucky right now to just be alive. He held his first press conference since February's car crash today, and he spoke about, you know, potentially losing his leg and how he wasn't sure. Like, we didn't know if he would be able to walk again, let alone swing a golf club. There's video out there from about a week or so ago where he was swinging the golf club, which was cool to see. He, though, was trying to temper expectations today at a press conference for an event that he's not playing in, right? He's just with promoting it. And whether or not he'll ever really be competitive again. Now, he said he's going to plan on hopefully playing in select events down the road, but it's one thing to play in it. Will he actually ever have a chance to win anything? He sounded like a guy that's pretty content, and I think maybe some more perspective was put in place after the unfortunate accident that he had. Like, the fact that he's able to be there for his kids, that he can still swing a golf club, that he can play golf with his kid, like that, those are all things he's going to be able to do. Compete for a Masters, compete for a major, I should say. You know, like, that's probably all that likely, but I will say this. Hard to count out Tiger Woods. I just got the sense from his press conference this morning, Nick, that he may even realize that, all right, this comeback may not be possible for me.
Well, and you got to remember, too, he was playing pretty sparingly before that car accident anyway. I mean, when you're talking about it being a 50-50 chance of having to have your leg amputated after that crash, like the idea that he's going to play golf at a competitive level, I wouldn't bank on it. Last up on What's Trending, congratulations in order for the state of Nevada. Alex, they had their first $1 billion month in Nevada sports book history.
Wow.
Meanwhile,
$1 billion.
Meanwhile, but that's okay. So $1 billion is cool, but as for Kansas and Missouri, at least we get to sit here and talk about the fact that lawmakers are close, right? they're working on it. There's a bill that may or may not get passed. So maybe in our lifetime,
there will be legalized gambling in the state
of Kansas and Missouri. But by that time, Nevada will have flying cars and robot butlers. It will basically be like the Jetsons while we are sliding down our Brontosaurus and clocking our time card at the quarry.
You're not a Flintstones fan, huh?
I would prefer to live with the Jetsons than the Flintstones.
Same.
You would?
The Jetsons?
You know what was cool about the Jetsons was they had that robot butler. They would push a button and whatever they could get whatever meal they wanted instantly. And for you, for a lot of people, that would be cool. For you, that would basically function as the Chipotle app on your phone.
Look, so far we're still on pace. The Jetsons was set in 2062. We're not there yet.
Well, yeah, we won't. But they're not as in Kansans and Missourians.
But the Jetsons weren't like in general. We're still 40 plus years away from actually getting to where the Jetsons were anyway, you know?
Well, Nevada's way ahead of schedule.
I don't know, man.
They might be there in the next 10.
I don't know.
You keep me $1 billion month? String together a few more of those.
If I were to set the over-under on years, 4.5 years that Kansas or Missouri gets legalized, I'd take the under.
Get off your ass and actually pass the bill
right?
then.
I agree.
I just don't understand.
Do you think
lawmakers can drag their feet over and over?
You shouldn't be surprised. I mean, look at everything that happens.
When you look across the country,
I know.
Like, because you know what? One thing universally that every state wants, regardless of politics, is more money.
Yeah, no,
gambling provides.
This goes back into. This is the same with legalization of marijuana as well. The revenue dollars that exist.
Prostitution.
Well, okay. Revenue dollars.
Am I right? Can I get a hell yeah?
So overall. I think the text line will get you a hell yeah.
Yeah, give me a hell yeah on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line.
913-576-7610. I think we're getting close, Nick. I think we're getting close. And the more and more states that surround Kansas or Missouri that legalize it, Nebraska, I think, is the latest for next year, the more likely. But I did see along those lines why I laugh when we do our show bets, and I say, yeah, the parlay is not a great idea. The biggest money losers for gamblers to play in Nevada in the month of October, sports betting parlays was number one. Number two was three-card poker. But number one was people lost more money on sports betting parlays, not just sports betting parlays.
They are tantalizing, aren't they?
Those parlays, those show bets. I don't even know where we got to come up with one this week. Did you guys do one last week while I was gone?
I don't remember. I was pretty baked the whole time.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Is sports betting legal in Arizona? You were just out there. Do you know?
Yeah.
Did you place any legal wagers while you were in Phoenix?
I did not.
Well, you were there for 5 days. What are you doing? That's really disappointing. You were in Phoenix for 5 days. You didn't download the FanDuel app.
Why is that the only thing that you think about?
Well, because if you're in a different state that's got to legalize, you might as well do it.
Okay, that is something the way your brain works. But for me, it didn't even cross my mind. I didn't even know it was legal until I met up with a friend who had moved down there recently, and we went and got lunch together. And he this is like the last day I was there. He's like, "Oh yeah, I can gamble legally now. It's cool."
You could have downloaded the FanDuel Sportsbook app, put in a little money, legally bet.
Yeah, but I'm not a good bettor. I'm not a good gambler.
Still, you do it for fun, right?
No, it's not fun to me. This is why this is one of the biggest philosophical differences between you and I.
What?
Gambling.
Oh, yeah.
You gamble on everything. I don't know if I told the story. I haven't gambled since March.
No, I thought you were doing college football plays.
Nope. I had a...
is that against the Heisman voter protocol? You can't bet on that?
Yeah, it's frowned upon.
Is that part of the terms?
The Heisman Trust would look down upon that. You know...
Text line, I'm still using Bovada like a chump. Missouri doesn't want my money.
I'm sure they would take it.
All right. So we were talking there at number one on what's trending about Brian Kelly and his 10-year, $95 million contract reportedly down at LSU. Of course, Lincoln Riley introduced yesterday at USC out in California, right there at the Coliseum and everything. And we haven't seen official numbers, and you and I were talking during the break. We may never actually see the official numbers with it being a private institution, but reports were, potentially, you want to talk about one of the more crazy contracts that could exist in college football. $110 million, USC buying both his homes in Norman for $500,000 over the asking price. He's got two homes, buying Lincoln Riley a $6 million home in L.A., and unlimited use of the private jet 24/7 for the family. Now, that's not confirmed because it likely will never be confirmed.
It's a private university.
Right.
They're never going to release the details of that contract.
But now, so much of it for Lincoln Riley was moving, to me, a lot out of the SEC landscape, which is where Oklahoma was heading. And his best path to succeed in win a national championship, to me, was going to USC, and that was a smart decision. But we're also seeing, my goodness, you can leave Norman to go to L.A., beaches nearby, huge pay raise, and they're going to buy both of your homes in Norman above asking, and they're going to buy you a $6 million home out in L.A., and your family can just use the private jet whenever they want to go somewhere? Like, no brainer. Like, no kidding. No wonder why he went.
Lincoln Riley, like, you can say this guy versus that guy. What we do know is there is nobody in college football better at attracting quarterback talent than Lincoln Riley. And as it turns out, I've crunched the numbers, Alex. Turns out quarterback talent has a very high correlation rate to success for college football teams or football teams in general. Like, Lincoln Riley is going to continue to bring the best talent. Oh, and now he's in a hotbed. He is no longer recruiting from Oklahoma and Texas. He now has the most fertile quarterback ground right in his backyard. And Lincoln Riley, by the way, transcended regional recruiting when he was at Oklahoma. He was already pulling kids from California. He was pulling all the best players from all over the country.
His recruiting class for 2022, 2023 has multiple guys from Southern California in it. Like, and those guys are decommitting already from
Oklahoma.
Do you
think those guys care? Do you guys think that you think those kids are offended that he's now leaving Norman, Oklahoma for Los Angeles, California? Probably not.
This contract, this movement in the last 2 days in particular, with Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, who was, you know, I got a chance to win a national championship this year. Still was paying him pretty good money at Notre Dame. There's fewer academic restrictions, as we know, than at LSU than Notre Dame. So that's probably part of the mindset and the money for Brian Kelly to go to an LSU. I don't personally think it's a good fit for Brian Kelly, but we'll see as time goes on. Wouldn't be the first time where people thought it was a bad hire in terms of fit.
What do you mean by fit? Like, just personality wise? You don't think he fits in the
personality,
South?
Personality, like, Brian Kelly doesn't scream Southern guy to me. Doesn't seem.
No, and he's got a reputation for being a bit of an ass. Like, there was a lot of people at the stop, whether it was Cincinnati or Central Michigan before that. Like, a lot of people had a lot of bad things to say about
him. As much as we like to say that part of it matters, like whether you're an a-hole or not, does it? Like, there's plenty of football coaches that are a-holes. Like,
can you recruit?
Yeah, that's what it's going to come down to. We know the game on that. But this money that's being tossed around, like, we always knew that when the NCAA and these institutions were fighting name, image, and likeness, the ability for these college athletes to profit off their own likeness, even for something as little as $1,000 to do an Applebee's commercial in Lawrence, Kansas, we were told by the NCAA and these presidents at universities that, man, we're going to go broke. Can't have that happening. We can't let them maybe tapping into our marketing dollars that company might have spent with us. Can't have it. And then you see this kind of money being flown around from donors, $100 million contracts, buying three homes essentially for Lincoln Riley.
What's really funny to me is that Lincoln Riley clearly views USC. Yes, it's a very lucrative package that Oklahoma wasn't going to be able to match. But there's still a football element to this, and part of being on the West Coast, not being in the SEC to get your brains kicked in every single week by Nick Saban, and whoever's coaching, Brian Kelly and Kirby Smart, of Georgia. There is a path to the playoff there that makes sense from a football standpoint. Brian Kelly's move doesn't make a ton of sense. I don't know how you make, unless it's just that everybody can win at LSU.
I mean, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron, of course.
That if you can just say, if those two idiots can win at LSU, then I can win at LSU.
So you think it's somewhat like arrogance a little bit?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we don't know
look at what they've done.
We don't know what Brian Kelly was making at Notre Dame.
10 wins in 5 straight seasons at Notre Dame. LSU has went 11-11 combined the last 2 years. So the idea that it's going to be easier there, it's like, I don't know. Notre Dame's got a pretty cush path as long as you recruit well and don't underperform, which they haven't done for 5 straight years. I just, from a football move, it doesn't make a ton of sense. But money.
He stabilized Notre Dame's program. It's in a way better spot than it truly is than what it was when Brian Kelly even took over. With the potential expansion of college football playoff, you would think that Notre Dame would be in a decent spot. Like, if the college football playoff expands to 8 or expands to 12 in the next 3 years or whatever, whenever that could happen, I personally think it should go to 8, not to 12. But if there's some sort of expansion, then Notre Dame would have been, you would think with 8, Notre Dame would almost be a team every year that should be able to get in, even as an independent. In the SEC, if you go to LSU and you're a 2-loss team with expansion, you can get in, but it's tough to only have 2 losses in the SEC. You're right about the national championship part of it at LSU. My only turnoff is LSU, the last two coaches that have won national title games, some to their own fault, but they've both been run off. Like, Ed Orgeron had his own issue, the girlfriends at practice and this stuff recently, but he just won a title 2 years ago, and he's already out. Les Miles got ran out, at the time there was nothing wrong. You know, not remember what he was at LSU, not what he was at Kansas.
That's the arrogance part of it, because you're right. Notre Dame's path to the playoffs is great. And once you get to the playoffs, win a couple games, boom, national championship. The problem is that because of the Notre Dame's sort of singular, unique way where they're going to play a really tough schedule, but they're also not playing an SEC schedule, they can rack up really good records enough to get into the playoff. But once you get to the playoff, there's a clear dividing line. There are five, I mean, seriously, for the past 7 years, there are effectively five college football programs that matter. Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State. That's it.
What's great
five.
That's what's great about this year, though. Alabama likely not going to make the party. We know Ohio State's not going to be it. We know Clemson's not going to be part of it. We know Oklahoma's not going to be part of it. That's what's great about this year, at least.
So until now, like now Lincoln Riley going to USC, that kind of wonders, okay, can he restore that to prominence? Oklahoma now a very attractive job. And because you're seeing power players in college football poach these high-profile coaches from other power players, from other blue blood programs, does it not make you at least wonder if a program like Oklahoma or Notre Dame can call the guys who a week ago you would have said that's stupid, they'll never even pick up the phone? But after seeing this, don't you kind of wonder, like, can Notre Dame make a call to Dabo Swinney? Can Oklahoma call Dabo Swinney and say, what do you want? Let's talk. Because until 7 years ago, nobody thought of Clemson as one of the top jobs. And if every single job was available, Clemson's not a top five job in football. He made it that. So can you not at least call guys like that and say, what's it going to take?
I think certainly you can call. Look, USC hasn't won a national championship in a long time. We know that. But USC nationally has always still been, because of its location, right, and the track record, has always been viewed. I think it's probably similar to Miami to a certain extent, right? Miami hasn't done anything in a long time. But Miami still even has this build-up cachet that you can flip the script there in Miami and be a power immediately because of the, again, fertile recruiting ground for Miami. Same with USC. The interesting thing, like just to use your example, I know you weren't saying it's going to happen, but just a hypothetical, like with Dabo and let's say Oklahoma or Notre Dame, like the school he's leaving, he's won multiple rings at. You know what I mean? Like that's the only trickier part. Whereas like Brian Kelly didn't win rings at Notre Dame and then left for LSU. You know, Lincoln Riley didn't win multiple national championships at Oklahoma and then left. That's why I think like the Dabo one, probably not. But your point, I get your point. Dabo's probably not the guy that I would think would do that because he's actually won multiple rings at the spot he's at, not just had a lot of success. The reason why it was easier to pull Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley, those guys had success, but they weren't on the level of Oklahoma, even though if they thought they were. They weren't on the level of Alabama or Clemson, as far as I'm concerned. Like, Oklahoma, to me, was right below that. They were like that sixth team. They were after Ohio State, after the Alabamas, after the Clemsons. Notre Dame, much in the same of the Oklahoma category. Very good program, but it's not the first four you think of.
You know what I feel bad for today? Because I know a lot of people feel bad for the Notre Dame players because Brian Kelly only met with them for 11 minutes. You feel bad for all these recruits who signed up to go play for Oklahoma, and now all of a sudden, your coach is flying across the country. He quit on you. Left in the middle of the night. It's fair to feel bad for those guys, but there's somebody else I think we're forgetting in this conversation, and that's another guy who's not having a great season. Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. When that USC job became available a couple months ago, he was pretty adamant about not being interested in it. Do we have the audio?
Mike Tomlin, not too long ago.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know? Anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
So he took it as an insult at the time. Now Lincoln Riley's maybe getting $110 million, three houses bought, unlimited use of the private jet. I don't think you should take it as an insult.
You think Mike Tomlin called his agent and said, you know what? Tell the boosters, I'm sorry. And I said, I'm willing to listen.
I said a blank check.
And I did say, never say never. Remember, I said never say never. Mike Tomlin makes $8 million a year, by the way.
I mean, that's a joke to me.
$2 million less annually than Lincoln Riley will reportedly be making. Mike Tomlin not interested in a 20% raise in a private jet 24/7. $6 million home in L.A. Those sorts of things don't appeal to him.
Brian Kelly used that Mike Tomlin comment you just heard, like in his own press conference not too long ago. He said, I think Mike Tomlin nailed it. And he made this, you know, he was quoted something like unless some fairy godmother is coming by to drop off a $250 million check, essentially saying he wasn't going to go anywhere. And now we know Brian Kelly, what, 10 years, $95 million
final word.
To go down to LSU to compete with Georgia and Alabama on a regular basis. And even though I think Oklahoma has shown what they are, but eventually he's going to still have to deal with Oklahoma and Texas, even if we're all down on Oklahoma and Texas. Like his road got a heck of a lot tougher. The text line continues to ask the very important question. Why the hell does Lincoln Riley need three houses? I have no idea why he needed two in Norman.
Like, now, it's not that big of a town.
Nope. I've been to Norman twice. Two houses. It doesn't make any...
Maybe like a little lake house?
One's on the lake. Is there a Norman Lake?
I have no idea.
Probably is. Probably a nice
Oklahoma
area.
Oklahoma not known for its bodies of water.
No. Well, there's a nice one there in Southern California for Lincoln Riley. Right in Malibu is his new house. Coming up next, we hand things off to CDOT on the drive, and I believe I'm hopping on at some point at 2:15. I'm told that they need me at 2:15. I'll be there. See you in a little bit.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.